Evening to our teenagers on Wednesday evenings through the summer. Of course, my dad has been teaching through Psalm 23, and what a great study that has been. I know that I have enjoyed it. I trust that many of you have as well. And every other week, Brother Mark and I are switching back and forth with the teen class. And so I did a little series this summer with the teens. This is actually only the third lesson, but it was the lesson I was going to teach this evening. I figured I'd go ahead and just preach it, teach it for you this evening, and trust it will be a blessing to you. And notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says this, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player and an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." And so these servants, they acknowledged the problem. The problem was that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and he was troubled with this evil spirit. And we find that the servants then offer a solution to the problem. They said, we need to go and seek out a man that is cunning on a harp, and this is how it will work. And Saul agreed to their plan. In verse number 17, the Bible says that Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." And we find that in verse number 18, one of the servants, we don't know who this is, his name is not given to us, but one of the servants of Saul, he stands up and he speaks to Saul, and I want you to notice what he says in verse number 18. "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Isn't that awesome? What a description that this servant gives of David. We know that he's speaking of David. The text does not say the name David, because this servant simply says, "I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite." But we understand as we read the entirety of the text that he's speaking of David, and we find that David, just preceding this particular text of Scripture, he of course was anointed by Samuel to be the next king over Israel. We know that a number of years would pass before he would ever come to that place of ascending to the throne and being the king of Israel, but we find that this description is given by this servant of Saul, and what a great description it is. I said to the young people in our first lesson, oh, that someone would make this kind of statement about us. Not someone that we know is watching us, that we can seek to try to, put on a good show for them and try to make sure that they see our good side, so to speak, but someone that's observing you that you're not even aware that they're watching you. And yet they're watching you. They're observing you. And what is it that they would say? You note that here in this text of Scripture, David is not saying this of himself. You find that there was not in this setting the servants, when they make this suggestion to Saul, he says, it's a great idea, let's put out word and let's seek applicants for this position. Wanted, a man that is skillful, cunning in playing, applications to be sent to, and all these people send applications in. And you know how it is when you submit an application. I mean, you're going to put all the good stuff that you can put, right? And, I remember when I was in some training and different things, and they always said, one of the questions that they'll ask you is, what is your biggest weakness? And several people out there, coaches and such, they give you this suggestion of your weakness is that you're a perfectionist, and you try to do everything right and perfect and so on and so on. What a weakness. I mean, what humility, right? No. David wasn't submitting an application. David didn't see the wanted sign and say, I'm going to submit my application. I'm going to talk about how good I am and all of the qualities and all of the attributes that would make you, King Saul, want me to fill this position. Didn't work that way. The servant says, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. We looked with the teenagers about this truth that people are watching you, and then in our second lesson, we looked at that statement that is cunning and playing. And of course, that was the only requirement that was set forth in verse number 16 when it says to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And we find that the first in this description that this servant gives of David is that he is cunning in playing. And I submitted to the young people that this is really, in my mind, this is the subject matter of being skillful. We find that David was skillful. Tonight, we're going to focus on the next two statements that are given here. If you are taking notes, the title of the message will be the next statement here. A mighty, valiant man. A mighty, valiant man. And then it says this, and a man of war. A mighty, valiant man. And a man of war. The word mighty there means it carries with it the idea of being strong, being mighty, but also carries with it the idea of being brave. Being brave. I find this evening when I think about this description of David, that he's a mighty, valiant man, that he's a man of war, I think about being courageous. And I think about the courage of David. The word courage means bravery. It means that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness. You know, the reality is that we're going to face dangers and difficulties. We're going to face those. We're going to encounter those in life. And to have courage, to be able to have that quality which would enable us when we face those dangers and those difficulties to face them with firmness, with valor, with boldness, with resolution. We need to have courage. We find this evening that as we think about this term courage and being courageous, and we see that David is described as being a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, I'm this evening going to deal with it from the perspective of being courageous. I want you to be mindful of what God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1. Hold your place here in 1 Samuel. In fact, you don't really need to hold your place there in 1 Samuel. We won't be back there until the very end, and you can hold your place there if you want, but we'll look at a number of passages. But look at Joshua 1 with me. And I want you to remember what the Lord told Joshua as he would lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. Beginning in verse number 6 of Joshua 1, the Bible says this, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Notice verse number 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Notice, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What great encouragement the Lord gives to Joshua. Would Joshua face dangers? Would Joshua face difficulties when he would lead the children of Israel into the land of promise? Sure he would. There would be dangers and there would be difficulties, but we find that God tells him, be courageous. Have courage. It's interesting that we know what the Lord said to Joshua here in Joshua 1, and we know as we look at this mighty, valiant man, a man of war, that David was courageous. It's of note to say this, that David, in 1 Chronicles 28, turn over there if you will, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, as you're turning there, I want you to be mindful of this, that the Bible gives us the opportunity to read of David's charge to his son Solomon before his death. It's always interesting to me to read accounts of people when they're on their deathbed. What are the last things that they're going to share with someone? Because the reality is that David understood that he would soon die, and therefore the words that he would choose, the message that he would choose to communicate, is of utmost importance. I don't have time to just waste breath. I don't have time to just waste and speak meaningless and useless words. I must make my words count because I'm going to die. And notice what he says in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 20. The Bible says this, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." David encouraged Solomon. One of the things that he says to him in the very beginning of this charge here is he says, be strong and of a good courage. I think David understood the importance of being courageous. I believe this evening that we could ask this question, where does this kind of courage come from? How is it that I can have this kind of courage? How is it that Joshua had the courage to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise? How is it that David had courage to do what God called him to do? And we'll look at a number of examples of David demonstrating courage as we go through the message this evening. How is it that Solomon would have courage to do what God has called him to do? I believe that this courage that we're speaking of this evening comes from no other source but God Himself. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. It wasn't for Joshua to just go and try to conjure up in of himself, or David or Solomon to have this courage. I'm going to overcome. No, no. It's going to come from God. It's going to come from the Lord. I believe this evening that every single child of God needs to have courage. We need courage. Why? As I mentioned a moment ago, because we are going to face difficulties. We're going to face dangers. And as we face dangers and difficulties, if we're going to deal with those and respond to those with firmness and with boldness and with resolution, then we must have courage. We must have courage. Notice, we're mindful of this truth in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter number 6, it was our theme a couple of years ago, be strong in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter number 6, we find that the Lord gives to these believers in Ephesus this charge through the Apostle Paul with regard to the spiritual battles in which they would face, the dangers that they would encounter. We find that Paul says this in verse number 10 of Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You understand here in verse number 10 that the operative truth that is given to us is that we're to be strong in the Lord, that we're to be and in the power of His might. Listen, we are weak. You know, the songwriter, when he wrote the hymn that we sing, stand up for Jesus. By the way, that's a great song, is it not? Because we need to be willing to stand up for the Lord. But the songwriter says in one of those verses that the arm of flesh will fail you. Why? Because it will. Because we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See, every one of us need to have this attribute that we're speaking of this evening of David, this attribute of courage, that we would be courageous, that we would have this boldness and this resolution, this firmness when danger and difficulty comes our way, that we would be able to stand. But it's only going to come from God. It's only going to come as we walk with God, as we spend time with God, as we're in His Word and we're spending time in prayer. Is it not interesting to you that in the passage of Scripture that we looked at there, that text in Joshua 1, when God is encouraging Joshua and God's telling Joshua to be courageous and to have courage and to be strong, that right in the midst of that passage of Scripture is verse number 8, "But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Why? Because as we're in the Word of God, it gives us courage. Because God gives us courage. It's easy for us to identify individuals that lack courage, is it not? And there are times in our lives in which, if we'd be honest and evaluate ourselves, that we would say that we even have lacked courage. We lack the courage that we needed in that moment. in that situation. But when this particular servant hears of the problem and they identify the problem that Saul has, this evil spirit that's troubling him because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and they say, we need to find a man that is cunning and playing, and when this evil spirit troubles you, he's going to play on that harp, and it's going to be better for you, Saul. And Saul says, go find me such a man. And we find that the servant says, there's this son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I've seen him. He's a cunning player. He's skillful, but he's a mighty, valiant man, a man of war. Now, I ask the question, where does this courage come from? We've answered the question, it comes from the Lord. But then I want to ask this question, how was David's courage displayed? How was his courage displayed? Honestly, this evening, and maybe if you have an answer, you can come let me know what your answer is, but I'm not certain for sure as to what it was that this servant saw in David that led him to declare that David was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. I don't know. I don't know what he saw. I don't know what he observed. He does not go through all of the details, but we do know that as we study the life of David, that there are some things that we can look to and we can reference of him having courage prior to this statement being made, but then also the opportunity to see many examples of David displaying courage after this declaration was made. Go back, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we note that this declaration was made in chapter number 16, and we find that Saul, and you know, he appreciated the messenger and what the messenger said, and so therefore he sent messengers to Jesse, and they brought David into his presence, and David had been caring for the sheep, and we know that he was with the sheep in the beginning of chapter 16. He was called away from the sheep in order to be anointed, and then evidently he went back to the sheep, and then now he's there with Saul, and we find that David is playing. And at the end of chapter number 16, we see that he was there and he became his armor bearer and so on and so forth. But then somewhere along the way, David ends up back with the sheep. We see that in verse number 15 of 1 Samuel 17. It says this, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And so we find that David's kind of going back and forth, right? And we see that. And then, of course, we're familiar with 1 Samuel 17. It's the text of Scripture that reveals to us, records for us, the battle between David and Goliath. And we think about the way in which David's courage was displayed, we find that it first is mentioned in verses 34 through 37 when David is rehearsing to Saul the encounter that he had with the lion and bear. Now, this is something that took place, as best we can tell, probably before the statement was made in chapter number 16. But because he went back and forth to the sheep, we can't be certain 100% that it happened before that declaration in chapter 16 by this servant. But it certainly possibly could have been, and one of the reasons in which this servant would have said that he was a mighty valiant man. And notice here what David says in verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, I'm not sure what you would have done, and you may not be sure what you would have done, but if I could be honest with you for a moment tonight, I probably would have said, too bad for that lamb. I'm being honest with you. I don't know that I would have gone after a lion or a bear. If you want to sit there in your seat and say that you would have, that's between you and the Lord. I'm just being honest with you. I think I probably, John, would have said, well, we'll have to deal with that somehow. Let's try to protect the rest. Honestly. But look at what it says in verse 35. And I went out after him. Now, even if I went out after him, I probably would have just been trying to look at where he went. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't have gone after him like pursuing him. But that's what David did. I went out after him, and what does it say? And smote him. Is that what it says in your Bible? That's what it says in my Bible. David, he's standing there before Saul, and he says, listen, I was taking care of the sheep, and there's a lion and a bear, and they took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, can you imagine this? Listen, I understand all the kids know this. We know this. We've read this. But a lion and a bear, and it rose against me? I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Go David. Amen? That's courage. Danger, difficulty. Thy servant, verse 36, slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So we see that David's courage is displayed as he rehearses here this event that took place in his life with the lion and the bear. I believe that his courage is displayed in just a few more verses when he faces Goliath. The Bible tells us, we don't have time to look at all of it, but the Bible tells us that of course Goliath had defied the armies of the living God, and Goliath comes, and every day he presents himself, and give us a man, give me a man that we might fight. And David comes, he's following the instruction of his father, and he comes to the place of battle to bring some supplies, and his brother says, I know the pride, the haughtiness of thine heart. And David hears what this Philistine says, what Goliath says, and he says this, is there not a cause? Who's going to fight against this guy? Everybody's afraid. David says, I'll go. I'll deal with this danger and this difficulty. Why? Remember, where does the courage come from? It comes from God. Remember, the promise in Joshua 1 and verse number 9 was that the Lord says, I will be with thee. Right? Knowing that God is with you gives you great courage. What is it that David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 20? He tells him to be courageous, but he says, the Lord will be with you. Having a knowledge of the presence of God with you enables you to have that courage. Why? Because God's giving you that courage. The Bible tells us here in verse number 46, this day, this is David now speaking back to Goliath, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I don't think David was just being cocky or prideful. He's being courageous. And he's saying to Goliath, this is what's going to happen. Why? Because God is going to give me the battle, the victory. And he says that all the earth might know that there's a God in Israel. David was not seeking to be courageous so that people could look at David. Yes, the Bible tells us in chapter 18 that the ladies, they sing the praises and they say, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. We understand that. But you understand that's not what David was trying to get. That's not what he was after. That's not what he was pursuing. He was about magnifying and exalting the Lord, that all the earth might know that there's a God in Israel. And it says in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice the end of verse number 48. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That's courage. He ran straight to him. And we know that God gave the victory. It tells us in verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They didn't have courage, right? They seemed to have courage so long as the Philistine was alive, right? I mean, can you see it in your mind's eye? See the battle in array? As Goliath goes out there and pounds his chest, and he's the champion of the Philistines, and let a man come and fight against me, and they see all of the children of Israel hiding and covering by rocks. Man, those guys, they probably got courage as long as Goliath's there. But as soon as Goliath died, those guys fled. They fled. We see David's courage with the lion and the bear. We see David's courage with the Philistine, with Goliath. I think about his courage as it's displayed with the Philistines in general. If you read chapter 18, we won't have time. We're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. But in chapter number 18, you see many instances in which David goes out and departs, and he's fighting against the Philistines, and God gives him victory, and God is using David. He behaves himself wisely. The Bible uses that phraseology in chapter number 18 multiple times, and we find that God is using David, and David is displaying his courage. You could look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, and you can read of when the Philistines invaded the city of Keilah. And as these inhabitants of the city, they were just fearful for their lives, and the Philistines had invaded, and what are we going to do? And we find that David and his men, they receive word, and David's ready to go and to deliver them. And the men that David has with him, they're dealing with a little bit of fear, and they want him to inquire of the Lord yet again. And David inquires of the Lord yet again, and God gives victory. David, yes, we understand that the Bible tells us, even as the servant says, that he was a man of war. And thus, of course, he did not build the temple. One of the reasons in which he did not build the temple that God gives through the prophet Nathan. But I want you to see that David, he had great courage. And we could go example after example after example of the life of David this evening. But for sake of time, I think that each of us would just simply agree that David was courageous. He was a mighty, valiant man, a man of war. Again, I don't know all of the reasons that this servant, after observing David, I'm not sure of all that he observed that led him to this conclusion, but I know there's some things that we can read that God has preserved for us in His Word that would lead us to the same conclusion. David was courageous, and we see it displayed. My question for myself this evening, my question for you tonight is this: do we have courage? Do we have the courage to stand when the dangers and the difficulties arise? And they will. Maybe I should say they are. Do we have the firmness, the boldness? Are we resolved to stand? To have that courage. Only be thou courageous. Oh, that God would help us to display courage, not because we're trying to get any recognition for ourselves, because we understand that the courage is not something that we've just conjured up in of ourselves. It's courage that comes from God. And as He gives us the courage, and as we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then we're able to stand with firmness and with boldness, with courage, when those dangers and difficulties arise. And they will. They do. They are. And so tonight, David, he is a mighty, valiant man. He's a man of war. Remember, David's not saying that about himself. That's somebody that's observing David that David doesn't even know is observing him. What would they say of you? What would they say of me? I'm not talking about the person that we know that's watching us. I'm talking about the person that we don't even know that's watching you, that's watching me. Would they say that you're courageous? Would they say that you have courage to stand, to have that boldness? Oh, that God would help us. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together this evening and to open Your Word and to study it for a few moments. And we thank You for the example of David. We thank You for the truth that You've given us in Your Word with regard to courage and being courageous. God, I pray that as we face dangers and difficulties, that you would strengthen us and that you would help us to respond to those dangers and difficulties with this firmness, this boldness, this resolution. Help us to stand up for Jesus. Would you bless our time of prayer? I do thank you for the privilege of prayer. I pray that you'd meet with us during this time of prayer, that you'd be glorified. Well, thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.